Hey guys, and welcome to Against the Grain, a podcast where we discuss how to live differently and take the narrow path that isn't popular in today's post-Christian culture. Our goal is to look at life differently through a biblical lens to understand how God wants us to live in today's day and age. We talk about current topics millennials are facing today, not talked about in the pulpit, and what they mean to us as Christ followers. Hey everyone, and welcome back. I'm so glad you're tuning into today's episode. So from the title, you can probably tell we're all still here, we're all okay, and we're not dead, we're not raptured. We get to breathe another day, we get to take another week of life in, and we get to do God's will for our lives. So what now? After the April 8th eclipse that happened recently. Today, I just wanted to talk about the eclipse blues, some false prophets, some prophecy that was said, kind of where that comes from, and where do we go from here? So we've kind of got a wide variety of topics to cover today. So first, we'll just hop right on to the eclipse blues. I read an article last night, actually, in the middle of the night, because it's who doesn't read articles in the middle of the night, right? I read an article about people being really, really sad, and they were just upset that they didn't get to experience the, euphoria that they felt from the eclipse. And so it was almost like coming down from a high the next day, which I totally understand this, and it's a very common phenomenon. We as humans look for things. We look for tribes. We look for communities. By our nature, we're just very communal beings. It's what God has instilled in us from the very beginning. We're always looking for a community of some sort, or a purpose, or a meaning to get behind. And so with all this hype that you saw on news stations and things, we all know this eclipse was so publicized. It was everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere without someone saying, "Do you have your glasses? Where are you going? What are your plans for the eclipse? And are you traveling? Are you taking off work?" We had a ton of people actually come to Indiana because we had a huge swath of central Indiana that was in the path of totality. And so hundreds of thousands of people were on the road. And we saw them in standstill traffic the day that we traveled down. I guess I'll start by saying that we ourselves did travel down, the kids and I, to go to a state park. We were going to make a hiking day out of it. And it was so obvious that it was broadcasted on Chicago as well, because the highway that we were on, both of the major highways, were just absolutely packed with people. And it was obvious from people that we had talked to that this was just a very, very communal event. People were taking groups of friends down. They were going, they were having work parties. People were shutting down for the day. It was a very, very intense thing, as you all know. And maybe you were part of some of those parties as well. But the deeper issue that I see with the eclipse is, you know, while it's fun and it's great and it's good to participate, you have to really examine the motivation behind why you're so excited about this. And I think for a lot of people, it was a community. They felt like maybe coming out of the pandemic, they needed something to get behind. They needed a common ground, I heard some people say it as in, it's a common, what did they say? A common step for humanity. Humanity is holding hands in this moment as we look at this beautiful solar eclipse, and we can all just kind of get behind the same cause. And really what it comes down to is people are looking for meaning in something larger. They're looking for a purpose in life. They're looking for a community. And what it is we all have a God-sized hole in our hearts, and we're constantly looking to fill that with things. Rather, those things are communities, tribes, ideologies, purposes, anything that we are willing to put our whole selves behind. This can also be identities, hobbies. There are so many things that we can make idols in our lives. And for a lot of people, you know, they're just searching. They don't know. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the community that, you know, we share as believers. To them, that's a foreign concept. And I think that's really important to remember as people are leaving this event where they sensed a huge amount of community. There's a lot of hurting people out there that don't know where to go from here. They're lost and they're confused and they're kind of lonely and sad. And so if you know somebody like that, you know, maybe reach out to them, invite them to church, because it's a really good witnessing opportunity to say, hey, you know, that was a lot of fun. Like, you know, this crazy thing called eternal salvation, it's going to be like that every single day for the rest of your life in eternity. And the only thing on this planet that can fill that God-sized hole in your heart is Jesus. And you can have that same euphoria every day. So some say it was life-changing, which was an interesting take for me because this is really the first eclipse that I had ever saw, especially the first eclipse that I ever drove to be in the path of totality. And I had heard from a lot of people that they said it was life-changing, which was very interesting, and I kind of wanted to share my thoughts on that. I wouldn't exactly call it life-changing. It was very cool. I mean, I had never experienced anything like that. I think when you see, you know, the sun completely blotted out, you look around at all the signs of nature, it's very awesome. But to me, it works towards the bigger picture. Like, instead of worshiping the created things, I want to worship the Creator. And while the eclipse is a magnificent sign from God that He orchestrates mathematics, science, He puts all of these things together in order to give us signs that He is the Creator, I think all these signs point directly to Him. And we can't miss the created, worshiping the created instead of worshiping the Creator. So that kind of has to be, that was kind of my mindset going into it and definitely my mindset going out of it. After I saw the eclipse, I thought, wow, that was awesome. It's pretty cool, but my life wasn't changed in any way from it, if that makes sense. Because you see, Jesus has done far greater things in my life than the sign of the eclipse. When God works in your life, every day is miraculous. Every day you see your past and you see the things that God rescues you from, the eternal hell, the eternal separation, just things on this earth that He's rescued you from. You see car accidents that were avoided. Maybe you had a close accident. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, we used to have these like 4x4 Jeeps, and we would ride through the hills of Southern Indiana. And that was kind of like the fun thing. We would like go jeeping. And, we had a pretty bad rollover accident that I was involved in. And it flipped like 4 or 5 times down a hill, hit a bunch of trees on the way down. It was a very bad accident. And I kind of getting like choked up thinking about it because we landed upside down, you know, and there's no roofs on these Jeeps. I mean, they're just bars. We landed upside down, and I looked down at my legs, and I thought for just a brief second, I can't feel my legs. And I thought, you know, we just had these little straps that went over us, our waist, and I could just, every time that Jeep would roll and hit the ground or hit a tree, I could feel my legs getting more numb. And so when I got to the bottom and I thought I couldn't feel my legs anymore, you know, I was terrified. Like, I thought truly, I've just been paralyzed. Like, this is it for me. I'm never going to walk again. This is bad. And we had some friends come up and unstrap, pulled me out, put me on the ground. And I just thought, you know, oh God, please, like, don't let me be paralyzed. This is going to change my life forever. And sure enough, the sensation came back in my legs. I was okay. The adrenaline had settled. I mean, I was just utterly shaken up, as anybody would be when you get in a pretty severe car accident. And so, you know, just looking back on, and maybe you have your own example of how God has literally worked in your life in some way. Maybe it's a physical way. Maybe it's a mental way. Maybe He rescued you from a sin that was going to lead you to death in some way, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it may be. We all have those times in our life where God has rescued us from something, and it's life-changing. Those are the life-changing moments. Not just the physical, but you know, the path that you're on, you know, he can pull you out of situations where you think there is no coming back from. You know, if you're living a life of debauchery, or you've got a problem, or your sin just seems so overwhelming, he can pull you out of that. And if you've experienced that as a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those are the miraculous moments that we look for, you know, and while an eclipse is amazing, God can do so much greater things in your life. I mean, he can change the course of your life forever if you just give him your life. And I think, you know, as a Christian, it's like, that's what I want people to know, is that, you know, while these things are awesome and God gives us these signs, imagine what he can do in your own life. And so there was a lot of people there that were lost. I could tell, because there was a lot of weird stuff happening at this state park where we had went, and it's a very mainstream state park. But you could just tell by what was happening there, maybe some rituals, I don't know, you know, was happening. I mean, there was some very odd things happening, and just a lot of lost people. And so, you know, it was a very good opportunity to witness. I wish, looking back, that I would have, you know, wrote something on the back car of our window in like chalk paint about, you know, of a verse from the Bible, you know, maybe like, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God or something like that. Because I think of all the cars that we passed on the way down, and I thought, man, like that would have been a perfect opportunity to witness and maybe give someone a different perspective. But I didn't do that, and I wish I would have. And maybe in the future, I'll consider doing something like that as well, to try to witness. But I think that's the mindset we need to have, is like, okay, I'm going into this space. How can I be the best witness for God that I possibly can? Can I talk to somebody? Can I ask them a question? Can I be a crazy person and write something on the back of my car in chalk paint? Sounds kind of crazy, but I think that we should go into these things with hearts of worship first and foremost, looking at what God has created and thanking him for his creation, and being sure not to worship the created, but worshiping the creator. Because I think God created science, he created math, he created all of these good things that a lot of our mainstream culture says can't coexist, but God orchestrated astronomy. God orchestrated the perfect timing, the perfect calculations, and all of this stuff for us. So he created all things, and we just have to give him glory and thank him for the beauty in that creation. All right. So as we know, a lot happened on April 8th. So let's get to the more controversial part. There was a lot of rapture, prophecy, going to be major earthquakes, the world's going to end, this is going to usher in the Antichrist or the apocalypse. A lot of those predictions were happening. And if you want to hear my thoughts on those, my honest opinion, it's very harmful to our witness as believers. You know, the Bible talks strictly about setting dates for the rapture. We know that very clearly, that, you know, no one's going to know the hour or the day. So to set a date is very risky, in my opinion, because it doesn't look good when it doesn't come true. And it's okay to tell people to repent and turn to Jesus, and that our time is drawing short, and that we may be in the end days. That's all true. But what's not okay is to say the rapture is going to happen on X day. We don't know that. And the Bible strictly forbids us from saying dates. And so in my mind, it's a lot of fear mongering that happens, because if you look at a lot of these YouTubers, or there were people everywhere, really, not even just YouTube, all over social media, they would set these dates and they would say the rapture is going to happen on April 8th or the world's going to end. But don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter or my blog or my channel. Like, do these people not plan to be here or do they plan to be here? I'm kind of confused. So it's just it was a very interesting time. So my suggestion to you would be to delete these exploiters, these false prophets, seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to delete social media, period. Maybe it's a really big idol in your life and you felt drawn and pushed to do so for a long time. But definitely, whatever you decide to do, really, really be careful about what you follow and what you take in, because it affects you more than you know. And I saw so much fear and so much anxiety in a lot of people that just were very unnecessary. And it's not of God, because God is not one of fear. You know, the Bible always speaks about not having a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage. And so we know that's not from God. That is something that Satan has tried to push this time around. So just please delete those people. Please do not follow people like that. There are so many people out there that, what I had noticed around this, that were taking parts of prophecy and they were twisting them very, very hard to try to suit their storyline of what they were trying to make this eclipse out to be. And we have to be very, very careful when we take stuff from the Bible and we add to it. Scripture specifically forbids that. And so for people to think that they're prophets, or, you know, God gave me this sign of X, Y, or Z, and then they take it way beyond what Scripture actually explicitly says, that is very, very dangerous. And it's actually a sin that the Bible warns against. And you'll be judged severely for it. So they will be judged severely for it. So just make sure you're really, really watching who you follow. And if you have any questions about things like this, go directly to Scripture for yourself. Don't watch these YouTubers and these Instagram influencers or these TikTok stars that are taking things and just spinning them, or taking them and just replaying them and reposting them for views, because their motives are very different than yours. You may be earnestly seeking God in Scripture, and they may be out there to get a billion likes on TikTok because they serve the God of TikTok. Be careful. Be very careful, and be careful what you watch, and always, always be a Berean and compare what you are hearing to Scripture. And if it's not explicitly stated in Scripture, then don't assume that it's what's going to happen. Someone's interpretation is not always God ordained. And so we have to be very, very careful about what we take out of scriptural context. And so just make sure that you are seeking Scripture first and foremost. I'll give you an example, like, you know, the X's and the Tav and all that, apparently the path that the eclipse is going over went over like 7 cities named Nineveh, 27 cities named Salem, you know, and in reality, the direct path of the eclipse only crossed 2 cities named Nineveh. Like, people were just reposting and running with it. And where does it say that in Scripture anyways? It doesn't. It does not say anything in Scripture about if the eclipse crosses the path named Nineveh, the world's going to experience a giant earthquake. It doesn't say that. You know, what we do know about Scripture is in the end times, it says that earthquakes are going to increase. We know that. Like, that's already a given. It doesn't mean that the eclipse predicts some exact correlation with the earthquake. I mean, it's just kind of like crazy to think about it that way. Like, God points to the end times as more of, yes, there are physical things that change on the earth. We can see them, but the end times are more marked by people's attitudes. And a lot of people think that it's a physical thing. It's more so people's attitudes. And I kind of wanted to share with you something interesting that I read the other day online, on a news article. It was people that are young and are really into social media, really into online, you know, I don't know, the online world in general. There was actually a study that showed that they actually have more pathological tendencies. So they had less ability to have empathy, because from a younger age, when you're young, you actually read people's faces to get feedback cues and social cues to know how to interact and to know how to be more empathetic. Well, these people that were exposed to screens earlier and earlier and earlier, they didn't have those feedback cues and those social cues and those empathetic social abilities. And so instead, they were more so along the lines of a pathological personality type. They were not able to show empathy to other people. And a Bible verse that made me think of that was Jesus said in the end times, people will grow cold-hearted. Their hearts will grow cold. And so to me, okay, social media, screen time, there's a direct correlation. Science once again proves the Bible in real life. And so people are growing colder and less empathetic, and they're growing more screen focused. So for me, that's why I have felt very convicted lately to just get rid of social media. And I just don't know what place it has in my life anymore, to be honest with you. It serves no good for the gospel. And that's a whole other correlation. It's a whole other topic to go on. But I just wanted to share that because there are real examples of the end times. And there's a lot of fear mongering out there and false prophets. So please do not follow these people. Be a Berean. Test it with scripture. Get the Holy Spirit on direct dial. He lives in you. You can pray to him anytime. Drop the distractions and just focus on listening to the Holy Spirit, getting in tune, stepping back from all these other noises, and just really focus on him. So where do we go from here? I think we've, you know, summed up a lot of that, you know, as in, you know, deleting the crazy people that we experience online, maybe deleting your online presence altogether. If you don't want to go that drastic of a role, just pruning back people that are they're hurting your spiritual walk. Taking your spiritual walk seriously, repenting, of course, and refocusing your hearts on God first, and then kind of introducing other things back in if that's the route you want to go is also good. Just make sure that you're staying in touch with the Holy Spirit. You're staying in touch, you know, with Jesus, and you're pursuing him daily, and just seek him in everything, the everyday things. You know, I think that the eclipse blues are the way they are because people don't have the richer meaning that Jesus brings into our lives as believers. You know, but since we do have that, you know, we live a totally different life. You know, each day has meaning and purpose and fulfillment for us. And so it's a different story for believers. And to me, that's really encouraging because we look at things so differently. You know, this is like a pit stop. This is a small gas station, restaurant, restroom break. And then we're getting back on the road. We're heading to eternity. Like, we're heading to our final destination. We're heading home. And this world is just a very small part of it. And for us, you know, our perspective, our 10,000 foot perspective is so much bigger. And we're seeking God in the everyday things. We're not just seeking him for a one-time celestial event. And so I think it's just really important to, you know, get rid of the distractions and focus our hearts on him, you know, to hear from him. And we can't hear from him if we're constantly caught up in the noise. If we're constantly caught up in all of the, you know, crazy conspiracy theories and getting distracted on the mission, especially if we ourselves are, participating in the craziness and the fear mongering, you know, we need to think about the witness that we're leaving for other people. And so, Jesus calls us to peace first and foremost. And if anything's taking away your peace on your newsfeed, get rid of it. If social media as a whole is taking away your peace, get rid of it. Just don't follow these exploiters. Don't get caught up in these conspiracy theories and these exploitive people that are twisting God's word. You know, get back in the word regularly. And the best way to hear from God is to get in the word and to get into prayer and to just sit, to just literally sit and do nothing and just listen to what words he gives you, you know, pray and just listen to the voice that he gives you. You know, solitude is a very, very important part of our faith. And I think that we don't exercise it near enough. And it's something that I've been focusing on a lot harder this year, is just taking time to just sit and listen to God. Like, I remember being younger and I would listen to God, like what he had to say, because there weren't any phones, there weren't any distractions, there wasn't really anything to watch on TV either. So I spent a lot of time out in nature just listening to God and what he thought, going on walks, and that solitude really, really grew my faith. So yeah, just a thought to go into this week as you, you know, move in. What's distracting you? What has maybe became an idol in your life? I know, you know, March Madness, I feel like April 8th was really, really good for identifying idols. Okay. Like, March Madness consumed everybody, it seemed like, and there's nothing inherently wrong with making a bracket. We just need to remember the bigger picture. Like, if we are putting our whole identity in a team, and trust me, I'm a Purdue grad. I was so excited that they made it to the finals. But I just had to keep reminding myself, like, who is my God? Who is my God? Who am I putting stake in? And I'm putting stake in Jesus Christ every day. I'm not putting stake in Purdue. Of course, I'm rooting for them, but at the end of the day, it's a game. It's a game, and we can't think about these things more than we think about Jesus. And so when you live with the Holy Spirit, like, you're constantly prompted, like, even in the middle, you know, during the games and things, I'm like, oh man, like, I love you, Lord. Like, you're the best, you know. It's just like the Holy Spirit will give you little nudges and just kind of refocus your heart and just remember, like, remember the 10,000 foot view, you know, we're only here for a little bit of time, and all of these things are great, but remember who created these things and that we worship the creator of these things, not necessarily these things themselves. So same with the eclipse, you know, it's fun. It's awesome. It was great to be there, but don't let it consume your whole person, you know? Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got for you guys today. I know this podcast is a little bit longer than I anticipated, but I hope you found some encouragement in something today. Maybe something resonated with you. Please, if you enjoyed it, a good review is always helpful to try to get the message out to other people. It actually really helps on Apple Podcasts, helps on Spotify too, but leave a review and share it with some friends. Like I said, I'm not on social media, so I don't have the ability to share new episodes. And so anytime that you share a podcast, whether it's through a text message link or you post it, it really, really helps. So it helps, you know, encourage other believers and just, you know, realize that we're not alone. Sometimes our journey feels really, really lonely as Christians because we're called to the narrow path. But it doesn't have to be. And there are other people out there feeling the exact same way, struggling the exact same way you are. And that's really what I want this podcast to be, is a community of people who are living differently that come together. And we worship the Lord, and we're here for this short time, but we have a totally different perspective than everybody else. That's why this podcast is called Against the Grain, is because we are literally called to live against the grain. We're called to live differently in a world of pleasure and fun and, you know, adulteries and sin. And not that we don't have fun as Christians, because we absolutely do. But yeah, we're just called to live differently. We're called to a higher standard, a holy standard. Doesn't mean we're perfect at all. It just means that we know Jesus and we know his love for us. And it's life-changing. You're excited about it because you've experienced that life-changing salvation that he offers. And so anyways, I just hope that helps, guys. Just remember to share it if you got any joy out of it at all. As always, you can always email me at podministry@gmail.com. And if there's any show topics that you would like to hear, I would be so happy to entertain those. Send me questions or feedback, whatever. I'd love to hear from you guys. Always do love hearing from you guys. And so, yeah, thank you guys and have a great week. And as always, focus your heart on the Lord and be blessed.